innercitygeeks.net.
To the Intercity Geeks podcast. It's Steve here. This is episode 265. And joining me today is Brian.
What's up, guys?
Yes. How you doing, sir?
I'm sore as fuck.
Yes, you're sore as fuck. That's good. It's good to be sore sometimes because, yeah. You know, especially, you know, after having a fun week.
Oh,
it's good
God.
To be sore. Yes. Yes. Worth it's definitely worth it.
I'd do it all again.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
In a heartbeat.
For fucking sure. If I was in your shoes, I would definitely do it too. Yeah. It's fun. Hell yeah. So before we get into the stuff that we are going to get into, which we're going to get into this is going to be a very wrestle-centric episode of the show. So before we get into the wrestle-centric stuff, what's going on, Brian? What you been up to?
Not a whole bunch. Just been watching a lot of TVs.
Okay.
As of earlier today, I'm three episodes in of that new series, Midnight Mass.
Ah, okay, okay. How is that?
It's actually really fucking good.
Okay, okay.
It's from the creator of Haunting of Hill House and also Bly Manor.
Nice.
Mike Flanagan. So it's a different style of horror.
Okay.
Because with the two hauntings, right? It was a lot of like. Did you watch either of those?
Yeah, I watched both of them multiple times.
So you know how there was always like a jump scare and then like a what the fuck moment and then another jump scare,
right?
And then like spot the ghosts in the hallway at all because there was always ghosts in the hallway,
right? Of course, right.
I mean, for Bly Manor, you see the plague doctor the first like 10 minutes in,
yeah, which was awesome.
Yeah, and you have to, like, really pay attention, you know, like, because with your, like, TV setting, even, and just go, like, oh.
Uh-huh. Or, like, it's just spot something. It's like, where's Waldo and shit?
Yeah, like, with Hill House, the kid, like, in between the banister.
Uh-huh.
But Midnight Mass is the story of a resident of this island, like, a small town island. Returning after 4 years because he was drunk and he killed a woman with his car.
Okay.
So he did his time and he's back and now like weird shit's going on.
Okay.
And it's one of those like, since it's like really, really a small town, everybody's into each other's business.
Okay.
And like, it has something to do with like this really... I mean, obviously, it's a mass, so, like, it's this preacher who, like, comes to town, and next thing you know, like, a bunch of shit, weird fucking shit just starts happening.
Okay.
Like, people are getting miraculously healed.
Interesting.
And also other crazier shit, which I'm not going to spoil, because the show just came out.
Friday,
as we're recording.
But
it's 7 episodes. I'm probably going to kill it later.
Of course, it's only right. It's only right to kill it like in the first day. It's only right.
Especially because, you know, semi spoiler alert. Well, not really spoiler, but I guess. But I don't have to watch Rampage tonight because I saw it already.
Right. Yeah. Of course. It's okay.
But yeah. So I get to like watch other things for one night.
That's fair. Yeah.
And most likely Meg's already out because like she was falling asleep putting the kids down. So
she usually falls asleep around this time. Anyway.
She's also
not that I'm like fucking measuring her times and shit, but it just happens to be every time.
In all fairness, like she's up earlier,
right? Yeah,
You know, like our
schedule. And usually, usually when we do record, she's usually like passed out with the kids.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, dude.
But I recommend Midnight Mass.
Okay.
I'm liking it better than Bly Manor.
Really?
Yeah, because Bly Manor.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Bly Manor was great, right?
They were awesome.
It was slower than Hill House because Hill House was like a big moment.
Yeah, yeah. It was a huge what the fuck moment all the time. Like,
I mean, like now that we're leading into Halloween, I'm gonna rewatch those, of course.
Of course, it's all great.
Yeah, like I did that last year with Hill House, and then I watched Bly when it premiered, and then I watched Hill House right after because it was like right around the time.
Yeah.
Because I moved into here in October.
Mm-hmm.
So, definitely recommend Midnight Mass.
Nice.
I'm caught up on Heels.
mm-hmm.
I'm caught up on Titans.
Okay. I still have to catch up on that because, like, I've watched a bunch of it and then, like, I keep getting caught up with it. I keep getting, like, other shit popping in. I'm like, oh, I want to watch that. Oh, I want to watch that. And I just lose track of things.
So, spoiler-free about the latest episode of Titans, it's more about where they took Donna Troy.
Oh, okay.
You know, in Wonder Woman's homeland?
Yeah. With Themyscira?
Yeah, thank you. So, the girl with, like, the diamond in her head that, like, her dad implanted?
Raven?
Yeah, her. Well, she was like a useless fucking character. My least favorite.
Was she though? Was she? I don't think she's necessarily a useless character. Because her character, especially in the first season, her character is a very pivotal character for the entire season.
Two, yes. Kind of like she's there.
She's there. Yeah. Kind of like how for the beginning, at least the first few episodes of Titans, you don't see her at all.
Right. So. There we go. I just did the what if Thor. So, I'm caught up on what if too.
Okay.
But Titans. So, spoiler free thing about it. It focuses on Donna Troy.
Okay.
And like her death and like a bunch of shit. But
okay. Okay.
And it was a good closure for a certain character as well, which
okay.
I'm not gonna get into.
That's fair. I gotta check it out. I gotta watch that.
There was no like Gar and like Superboy and then this was not focused on that. It was simply focused on
the half of the team,
which I like that for the actors too. Like they get time to take a break.
Yeah, for sure. It gives not only just gives the characters, you know, the actors their individual episodes, but it also, you know, it helps the viewer to just get to know the other characters there as well. So that way you're not like fully invested on the entire team. Right. You get to see exactly what other characters are doing, what they're all about.
Exactly, and it's such a well-written show that they merge it all together for the end.
Of course.
You know.
And they only have like one or two episodes left for the season?
I think they have like three. I think it's like 10 episodes.
Nice, yeah, that sounds about right.
But yeah, really, really good. Season 3 has been really good.
Yeah.
Aside from that, yeah, like I said, I watched What If. So What If Thor Was an Only Child.
Okay. Yeah.
That was good. It was funny. They brought back I'll be the heel. The weakest episode is the fucking zombies.
That's fair. To me, this was the weakest episode of all of them. Of the entire series, to me.
Okay. The strongest for me still is Strange.
Yeah, that's a great episode. But this one here, to me, of course, like, it doesn't do anything for me. Like, I like Thor, I like the character, I like, you know, the whole Norse mythology and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But seeing him the way that he is, the fact that he's like, technically, if you go by the title, like, he's an only child, he's spoiled as fuck, and he's literally like a high school kid that does whatever the fuck he wants, and his parents give him whatever the fuck he wants, and it's just like, I don't really care.
This episode was good, but truthfully, last week was better.
Yes.
Because, yes, like, no matter what, you knew what the twist was going to be. Because
he's
Killmonger.
Yeah. He's an asshole. Game. Period. Yes. Yes. He's a dick. Yeah. No matter how you look at it, he's a fucking dick. Exactly. He can be a good guy, but in all actuality, he has ulterior motives. Period. Yes. Which is what I loved about that episode.
Yeah. Aside from TV, I did a lot of yard work
last week. Nice. That was nice. Fun. Not hell yeah. Fun. Gotta trim the hedges.
Yeah. Well, what happened is that, like, the way the yard is, the front yard, the neighbor's backyards, their vines of, like, those weird fucking wild berries.
The wandering Jews?
Yeah. Like, they grow over into mine. And I've been getting, like, a lot of those spotted lantern things. I've been getting a shit ton of mosquitoes. Like, I'm finally, like, not itchy, but I was bit to shit last week.
Nice.
Like, a lot of, like, bees and hornets. And I was like, all right, this got to go. And I just, I ran all over town looking for a fucking pair of clippers. Like, the small garden clippers, and nobody, 12 stores, nobody had them. They're like, oh, well, like Costco was like, you got to get them at the end of winter, we'll have them. I'm like,
why don't you have them?
Right, like, I need them now.
Right, yeah, why do I have to wait till the end of fucking, no, why?
Yeah, there was so many fucking vines and like, shrubbery that, like, it was like four big heavy duty bags that went out in the garbage of just that.
Nice.
Nuts. But
fucking having a house.
So, like, I said to my mom, you know, because her place, I'm like, yeah, this is the last time I've ever. It's a one and done.
So call these people to take care of your shit.
I was also joking, saying that it was a post pandemic haircut.
Nice, yeah, yeah.
Just like, yeah.
It's fair. It's only worthy of it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, now, like, if I keep it, like, because it's like so little now, like, now I could, like, every
month, every couple weeks, yeah,
just like trim it really quick and it's fine. Mm-hmm. But then before you know it, it's like, I mean, I'm probably not gonna be barbecuing much more.
Right. Yeah, because it's getting cooler up there right now.
Yeah. So, like, right now. For those of you that love when I check my phone, it's 65 right now.
Nice.
So, yeah, although I wanted to wear something up in this office, but I have the air on because I sit right. So this is the boiler behind me, behind this door. Okay. So,
yeah, nothing but heat behind you.
Nothing but heat behind me, which sucks because I really wanted to show you something I purchased on Wednesday.
Ooh. Oh, nice. Dude, I went on the website. They don't have it on the website anymore. Yes, I'm very pissed. Very pissed.
I was wondering if they sold
it. for those that aren't watching, if you're listening, just listening, he brought up the AEW Statue of Liberty sweater.
That was available at Arthur Ashe Stadium.
Yes.
And not bad. It was like 60. But
yeah, that's the pretty much the same price that they have it online for.
Yeah, and that's
like, or they had it online for. Yeah.
That's average price for a hoodie from like an event.
Yeah. It's regular merch price.
Yeah, even on like if say you were to buy like a sweatshirt on shop.com for WWE, right? It's about the same price.
Yeah.
But then the other thing I bought was the All Elite. Let me stand up off the Sunday chair. The All Elite
Baby Adam shirt. Cole. Adam Cole. Hell yeah.
It's like, So what I'm happy about is that my CM Punk shirt showed up like 2 weeks ago.
Right in time.
Right in time.
Hell yeah.
And so the amount of CM Punk shirts at the arena.
Yeah. Insane.
It was fucking nuts. But we'll get more into that later.
Yes, we'll get more into that later.
Yeah, I don't think I've gotten anything else done. I've been recording. Well, I got part of a video done. I've just been like, you know, I'm trying to get back into it. Mm-hmm. But like, it's also, even though I'm just doing it for fun now, it's also like, I'm trying to get back into it. But then I also like have other things to do. Like, I haven't even written an article in a while.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, like the Cobra Kai article was the last thing I wrote. And like, I want to write, but it's also like, I'm also like, okay, I'm going to pick and choose. I'm not going to, because at first I was like, oh, let me grab, you know?
Yeah.
But looking at it now, it's like, okay, it's like a dozen of us. So like,
they have enough information. There are enough people writing shit.
It's not like nothing's going up.
Right.
You know, but like, it's like, all right, I need to take a breather, but I'll get back to it, you know?
Yeah, you need time for your regular stuff, for your home stuff.
Because in the process of, here's everything that's going on right now. I'm job hunting. I'm apartment hunting. For those who you don't know, this was a temporary spot for now, but we want to.
It's always been a temporary spot from when you got there. You're pretty much saying like, this is just a spot for now until we figure out where we're gonna go afterwards.
Exactly. So like, you know, this was like, okay, we made it a year. We want to move forward.
Yeah, it's only right.
Yeah, and so I got that, but then I also like watch the kids during the day, and they're getting super active, and it's really hard to like go type something. And because like if you have the creativity flow, it's hard to like pause your brain and remember where you or what you were gonna type, and then like change a dirty diaper, feed them lunch, or you know, read them a book, or you know, in my case,
you can't do that on daddy duty.
No, it's rough. So I will be writing again. I'm not saying I'm stopping.
Yeah.
And then like. Also, like, videos will come. I was all set to record last Friday before we started the show, or after we did the show.
Yeah, because you said you were going to record exactly after.
Yeah, and then, like, it turned out my battery was dead. I'm like, oh.
Nice.
But then, like, I didn't want to wait an hour for it to charge. Cause I'm like, well, I'm hungry. I want to watch TV and just veg. So I'll probably start it up again tomorrow.
That's fair. Yeah. And also, there is no real deadline for the dailies, so.
Right. Like, my videos are my content. I put them up when I put them up.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, you guys waited 11 months.
Exactly.
You could wait another, like.
Another week or so, yeah.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, dude. Nothing. You always gotta make sure you handle your thing first before you do anything else.
Yeah, like, I've been stretched so thin that I haven't even touched my PS4.
Well, that's fair.
Really got nothing else. What's going on with you?
What's going on with me? Well, this week, of course, like I mentioned last week, my parents were in town still, and I actually took them back to the airport on Monday, which is when the episode came out, and I fucking love my parents, dude. Like, and it was like nothing but fucking waterworks as when I dropped them off at the airport.
I bet.
Like, literally nothing but fucking waterworks, dude. It was insane.
From you or them?
Well, they started it. They started it, okay? It's their fault. It's their fault. But it's okay. It's okay. It wasn't a bad thing. Like, technically, I haven't seen them in what, 3 years since you've been married.
My wedding weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen them since then. So, like, I get it. And then they were here for like 2 weeks. So they got to see me every day for those 2 weeks.
Right.
And It was sad to see them go.
I bet.
Yeah, but it was good. I got to spend time with them. They got to spend time with the kids, and it was fun. It was a fun couple weeks.
Good.
I'm glad they came down. I'm glad it surprised me. It was good. It was a good surprise. Like I said, I don't ever expect anybody to just show up. Because I don't ever want anybody to just fucking show up. But you know, it was something that was technically needed because I needed them. I needed family to be around. Because I haven't been around them in years. But it was good. It was good. It was good to have them here.
But this is actually a backdrop behind me, so I'm actually right outside. Surprise.
Yeah, he's knocking on the door. Yeah.
All of a sudden you hear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Was this pre-recorded? How'd you know what I was gonna say?
I learned from experience by that
yeah.
That fucking reunion show we tried doing a couple years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
When you had like internet that was like tin cans and a string wire.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty fucking much. Yeah, but it was good. It was good. It was cool. It was cool to spend time with them and basically enjoy it all. It kind of took me back to like when I was younger and actually living with them, because like you know, it's even though I'm older now, I still feel like they still treat me like fucking like I'm a fucking child. Because of course you know I am still their child. No matter how you look at it, no matter how old you are, your parents are still gonna treat you like you're their fucking kid.
Of course.
Yeah. But it was cool. It was good. Then I watched a lot of shit. I watched a good amount of shit, actually. One of the first things that I watched that I fucking absolutely fucking loved was the Mortuary Collection on Shudder. So fucking good. Stars Clancy Brown, Lex Luthor, and he's been in a bunch of other shit. Yeah, he's in everything. Yeah, and he's literally like a fucking a mortuary dude. He works in a mortuary, in a fucking funeral home and shit. And it's a horror story. It's a horror anthology, and it's twisted as fuck because there's a lot of shit that fucks up in that fucking thing, and there's a lot of fucked up ways that people die. And of course it's very graphic. They kind of show a dude giving birth. What would happen if a dude gave birth?
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly what you think, what you're thinking is what happens.
Nope.
Yeah. It's harsh, dude.
I'm not watching that.
Because first you're like, no, they're not gonna do that. They're not gonna do that. Because that's just one little chunk of the movie, in which there's this like you know, one of the little nippets or whatever is basically the kids the. It has to do with like college kids or whatever. So there's some of them at like a frat party or whatever, and they're kind of you know giving a condom to stuff, so that way you know like oh yeah their thought process. Cause of course they're young and dumb. They're like oh yeah, if we give them condoms, that means they're down to fuck. So we don't necessarily have to use them because they're down for it. Dumb kid brain. And this one kid that's giving him out, he basically gives it to one girl, whatever, and they wind up, you know, they wind up, like, going and having sex or whatever, and she gives him, like, he's like, yo, did you put it on? He's like, yeah, I put it on, I made sure. And then that basically pretty much fucks him over, and she pretty much winds up, you know, impregnating him. Nope. Yeah. And then, and this all happens within, like, 24 hours. So he gets pregnant, he wakes up in the morning, and basically he fucking his belly starts to grow and grow and grow. He goes to the doctor's like, what the how is this possible? Like, you can't, you're a dude. Like, dude, this doesn't happen, dudes. And yeah, it happened. And then he's like, full term by like the end of the day. And they're like, oh my God, I'm about to give birth and shit. And you see, like, he takes up his shirt and you see, like, the fucking, the baby moving in the stomach and shit. Fucking nuts, dude. Fucking nuts. And then they're like, oh yeah, I guess it's time to take it out. And they, like, full chunk, he just goes, what? Yeah. Nope. Fucking nuts. But besides that part, it's pretty dope. It's pretty good shit. It's good shit. There's a few good stories. Well, they are all good stories. Not as twisted as that one, but it's definitely worth a watch. Definitely worth a watch. So if you got Shudder, or if you know, you find ways of procuring it, check out the Mortuaries collection. It's good shit. Then another thing that I watched, something that I've kind of been watching for the last few weeks, and I'm fucking absolutely in love with it, with the show, is Reservation Dogs. Right. It's on Hulu, and it's an FX show. It's actually really fucking good. Follows a bunch of kids on a reservation in, I think it's Utah or something, and it follows their whole you know, youth. Trying to get out, but do they really want to get out? You don't know. But it's really good. It's really well written. Very, very, very entertaining. Really funny. And I love the fucking show, and I'm glad they got picked up for a second season. And Bill Burr is one of the episodes. Pretty funny.
Bill Burr's in everything.
Yeah, he's everywhere. Yeah. Anyway, the show, so definitely suggest for anybody to watch fucking Reservation Dogs. It's really fucking good. Another thing that I watched, well, a couple things that I watched, both wrestle-centric, not necessarily what we're going to be talking about in the episode, but the two things that I watched that was really fucking good, the continuation of season 3 of Dark Side of the Ring. First one being The Plane Ride from Hell.
How fucking crazy was that?
Dude. It is fucking nuts, dude. For those that don't know, The Plane Ride from Hell is when WWE, or back then, it was WWF still, maybe.
It was WWF. Yeah. They were just, it was like the weekend before they were doing the Get the F Out campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, it was the week that they would do. It was the weekend of Insurrection in London,
mm-hmm.
which was a dope fucking pay per view, from what I remember.
Yeah, back then, yes, it was.
Yeah, and then they were on the plane, so it was like this specially designed plane where it only had like 50 seats,
mm-hmm.
and like it had like tables and like.
It's an exclusive charter plane, pretty much.
Yeah, it was like a special limousine style plane.
Yeah.
For like, which cost like a lot of money for all these like athletes to like just.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a private jet, basically.
And they were supposed to land, so the flight from London to Connecticut is about 7 hours.
Right.
They were on the runway, or on the tarmac, ready. And they got the call from Connecticut saying you can't land here yet, the weather's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, you figure, okay, we've you know, anybody who flies, you know, it's happened with me, I'm sure it's happened with you, like
it happens all the time.
You know, there's like, okay, a little bit of delay, or if they fly, you know, there's, of course, you're flying through clouds, it's gonna be, you know, rain,
right? But
the weather was so bad that they're like, nope, you can't fly yet. And so basically they were stuck on the tarmac for 7 hours.
Yep. 7 hours before the 7 hour that they have to fly back.
Before the 7 hour flight. So this is like, or it might even been seven and a half. So around to like 15 hours.
Whatever. A long fucking time.
Long fucking time. Yeah. One of the flight attendants was a new mom. Her kid was only like a month old, and it was her first day back from work, to work, and a bunch of crazy shit happens. So it was open bar on these flights. So they went through 3 liquor carts.
Yep. When they usually barely go through one on a regular flight.
So they went through 3 of those before they even took off. And they were giving each other H-bombs, which is when you put GHB into the drink. And, you know, it's like roofying. So
yeah, they were roofying each other the entire too.
As pranks.
Yeah.
Like, oh, get up and go to the bathroom. Oh, next thing you know, you're passed
Whoops.
Out.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Oops,
and then they were like fucking with each other's hair and fucking doing a bunch of shit that they shouldn't. Particularly, people don't really well, people fuck with them with each other. Granted, like they were a bunch of they were literally like a bunch of frat boys on a fucking plane.
Basically.
Yeah.
I mean, of all the things that happened on the flight, the only thing that was the least offensive, comical, because Michael Hayes and his mullet was Sean Waltman chopping off his ponytail. And then they pinned it to the and then Monday they put it in a plastic bag and pinned it to the locker room door.
Yeah.
That was comical.
Of course. Everything
else that went on with that flight
wasn't
of us condone what the fuck happened.
No, definitely
they
not.
They all got what was coming for them.
Oh yeah.
And so, what was it? You had Ric Flair.
Who was technically the biggest part of the entire documentary for the most part.
Yeah.
Because, like, there was a lot of it that went down, but, like, that was the biggest part that technically tons of people were really upset about. Not just, you know, the people that were part of it, people that were there. But people all over the world, obviously, because this came out on Vice the other like last week, and everybody was like, "Yo, like, what the fuck?" Everybody was like, "Oh, this dude is like," people see him as like the greatest of all time.
Yeah,
and then you to think about that, and then hear the stories of what happened then. Everybody's like, what the fuck kind of dude is he, really?
Right.
Yeah. Cause from what the documentary is saying is pretty much that he exposed himself and technically forced himself onto the stewardess. Yeah. The stewardess. They don't call them stewardesses anymore, Steve. Fuck. Yeah, they attend to flights, dude. They don't store anybody.
Naked in a robe or his cape, whatever it was, saying, just, you know, touch me. And then the poor woman was so traumatized by that, that after trying to get herself back into like, you know, just, okay, I need to just do my job. Scott Hall was sitting on the flight. And he woke up from his nap, and he was like, "I want to lick you," and he started licking her face.
Yeah.
And then, he passed out again.
Yeah, because he was intoxicated, but not with drugs, but not with drinks.
He was also GHB'd.
Yeah.
So I remember back. Oh yeah. Well, before I get into that part, but then you also had Brock Lesnar and Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect, who were friends. Like they when Perfect died, like Brock broke.
Yeah.
Because they were both from Minnesota. And so what happened is that Hennig was a prankster, and so he put shaving cream on Brock's head. And he tickled him and made Brock smack his own head or whatever and get shaving cream everywhere. And instead of just like punching or like laughing it off, they started fighting.
Yeah.
They started fighting and having this massive wrestling match on this plane
that
they pushed each other into the emergency exit. At this point, they were already 10,000
feet. They were already in the air. Yep.
Yeah, they were over the Atlantic. And so, like,
they could have all died.
Yeah. I remember when I remember reading on there on the reading on like one of the hot sheet dirt sheet websites or whatever, or it might even be WWE.com, was when saying that they had come to terms with Scott Hall and Kurt Hennig. And I forget if Brock got suspended, but he definitely wasn't gone.
Right.
And nothing about Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I didn't know about the plane ride from hell when these people got what was, now you see what was rightfully what should have came to them.
Mm-hmm.
But JR said it best on the show. He's like, nothing happened to Rick because he's basically a made man.
Yeah, which is sad to think about that like that. It
fucking is.
Yeah.
Although, cars.com, they pulled like the ads with him.
Yeah, it was one of the insurance companies that he was doing the ads for. Yeah, he did like I think it was like 6 or 7 commercials for them, and I would randomly see them like on Hulu and stuff like that. But yeah, they pulled all the commercials, and pretty much a lot of the places that WWE, they took out his woo in the intro for you know, Raw or whatever.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's not going to be doing anything interesting anytime soon.
Right, especially because a couple of weeks back with AEW, when Andrade fired Chavo Guerrero.
Yeah. It looked like that was going to be the perfect opportunity for them, for AEW to bring in him as his.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm sure people know, if you're, you know, for those that are listening, but like, Andrade is engaged to Charlotte Flair.
Yep.
Like in real life, engaged to Charlotte Flair.
Yeah.
And therefore, it would have been ideal to have Rick come in as his manager.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, when her contract runs out,
she would just jump over, right? Yeah.
Now the thing is, Tony Khan doesn't go that way. Like, Tony Khan is a wrestling fan, but he's also a businessman.
Yep.
And he wants only what's great. You know, like, think about everything that AEW has right now.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you gonna put in this guy and fuck it all up?
Yep.
You know, and so now it makes me wonder if, because of Rick, will Charlotte ever go to AEW?
I don't see why not.
Because, I mean, it's not, she didn't do it.
Exactly. It's not her fault.
Right. True, because like, they're not gonna just like fuck over Andrade because his father-in-law is a dick.
Right, exactly.
You know. So I wonder if they're gonna do something when Chavo gets back, because he's doing Young Rock.
Right.
So
it's gonna be interesting how it all plays out.
You know, aside from all that, and I felt so bad, you know, for the flight attendant.
Oh, yeah.
But then, like, fucking Tommy Dreamer, man.
Yeah, dude. Like,
the reason why they call him the Nature Boy. It's like, so you're basically saying that you're condoning this.
And yeah, it's okay to do that. No, it's not, dude.
No, it's not. Rob Van Dam, I forgot exactly how he phrased it, but he was like, yeah, that shit ain't right.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he said it too. Yeah, he was like, yeah, I didn't see it. Like, I knew he was doing stuff that he was not supposed to be doing, and that's not cool.
But yeah, so then you also had right. It was JR was the one that was doing all like the
Yeah, he was doing the talent relations, basically, is what his main role in WWE was then, back then.
Because Vince didn't want to get up out of a seat.
Yep.
Well, they were now saying that Vince wasn't on the plane. I call bullshit.
Yeah, JR said it. He was like, yeah, he was on plane. He was on first class. He was the first class with Linda the entire time.
Yeah. But there was a story that came out like a couple of days ago that was like, the reason why Vince didn't do anything is because he wasn't on the flight. It's like,
bullshit.
Bull fucking shit.
Yeah.
It's your company. You're on that flight.
Yeah. Your company overseas.
Yeah, because you know you're doing some business trying to do like your scouting and shit.
Yeah, you're expanding your brand all over, but you got to be there. Come on, dude. Shut the fuck up. He was there. We all know that.
Yeah. So the fact that JR, granted, it was JR's job to handle all this, but at some point, McMahon should have come out and been like, yo, you're all fucking fired.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, if that was my wife, I would have been like, a settlement's one thing, but like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's one thing that Dreamer said also is that, if you really wanted to go through with it, why would you go for a settlement?
Right. But somebody tweeted saying that the reason why they took the settlement is because imagine being this woman going up against this major company and all their lawyers.
Yeah. They would have.
It wouldn't have happened. But yeah, the plane ride from hell.
It was a crazy fucking story, dude.
Fucking crazy. Like, when fucking Just Incredible was like, we all thought Scott Hall was dead.
Yeah. They pretty much threw him in a wheelchair.
They weakened that Bernie's him through customs.
Yeah. Yeah. Through customs here.
Yeah.
In the U.S.
In the U.S.
Yeah.
But seriously, three fucking liquor carts on the 7 hours that you're on the tarmac?
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine what they went through, whatever was like reserved on the flight.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's fucking nuts, dude.
Fucking insane.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy the amount of shit that, like, I get it, you know, they're big dudes. So usually it takes a bit to fucking get drunk off of.
Yeah.
But three.
Although they're not all Andre the Giant.
Right, but they're still big dudes anyway. Like they're big. Dudes. They also have like fucking like not necessarily big dudes, but they have huge appetites, so they fucking eat all the time. They fucking they have a lot of shit going through their body at the time. And I'm pretty sure they fucking drink all the time. Most of them are fucking alcoholics and shit. Like, that's their job, pretty much. Like all they do is they work out all day. Then they fucking wrestle all night, and then after that they do whatever the fuck they want because it's a late night gig, pretty much.
Yeah.
The only thing open at that time is fucking bars.
Basically. But yeah, that was a fucking crazy ass episode.
And yeah.
Like, WWE did their story time version of it, and they did what they pulled it. This, they cover up everything.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like
a
10-minute animated cartoon. Like, oh, hey, and everybody laughed.
That's
not what really happened.
Yeah, no, that's not what happened. No, it's not cool. Yeah, they got rid of the episode.
Did they really?
They got rid of it after all this shit came out. Like, yeah, we're going to get rid of this shit because we didn't know anything about all that other shit.
Because this isn't exactly a PG moment.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not. It's not a fun, happy-go-lucky time.
No, it's the. Yeah. It's this woman almost got rapey time.
Yeah, well, lots of rapey time.
Yeah, and I'm still like.
Yeah.
It's just fucking insane.
Yeah, the only like decent moment about the entire thing. It was very sad, actually. That whole entire documentary was the whole fucking Goldust Terry Reynolds thing.
Yeah, yeah, I forgot.
That was sad because it was like literally like right after.
Right, they were just divorced. not that long ago.
Yeah.
And he was like a major alcoholic.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily he's been sober for a long time, but yeah, like he's singing to her through like the mic.
Yeah.
Trying to like serenade his wife back, and it was cute and depressing and sad and
super sad, dude.
You know, and you felt for both of them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they went to they kept telling her like, "Yo, don't sell it. Don't sell it."
Yeah.
Which is what, you know, people in wrestling know. They're like, "Oh yeah, if you sell it, that means you're trying to, you know, feed into it." Like, no, they're like, "Yo, just shut the fuck up and just don't pay attention to it."
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, super sad, dude. That was like the saddest story of the entire thing. And I like the fact that, you know, it basically showed him as like he's a dude that was actually in love at a moment at the time.
Yeah. You know, I met him at Toy Fair last year.
Nice.
Because he was doing the AEW
of course
signings. And I mean, I didn't bring up the character of Goldust at all. It's, you know,
no need to.
Yeah, like I.
Granted, he is like the first one that a lot of us knew him as. I knew him first as Goldust. I honestly, at that point, I didn't even know he was fucking related to fucking fucking.
Yeah.
I didn't know that then.
I didn't know that either. So when he looked really tired because he had a long weekend at Toy Fair, and like he was wheeling his luggage out to go catch a flight, probably to go wrestle. And I said to him, I just simply said, Dustin, I was like, I just want to say I've been a fan of your work for a really long time. Thank you. And he's like, oh, thank you, man. And he like shook my hand and it's like, have a great day. He's like, you too. Couldn't have been any humbler.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what you would expect to hear from a dude that, you know, has been in the career in this industry for 40 years, pretty much. Because he's been in there since the fucking 80s. Since
before the Goldust character.
Yeah.
I mean, Goldust was only...
the 90s. Late 90s. Yeah. Late 90s. Long time ago. Since before... I think before I was born. But, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, yeah, that was a really, really, really fucked up documentary. Then I also took earlier, I watched the Chris Canyon documentary on Behind.
I didn't watch it yet.
Yeah, it's I'm not gonna go too into it, but it's a fucked up story.
Yeah.
Again, it's
Canyon was a hell of a.
He was a hell of a worker, dude.
Yeah.
And it's sad that he had so many demons with him. Mm-hmm. He had so many fucking demons. He had a lot of feelings. His story is it's crazy because for a long time he was in the closet. Nobody knew
right. That
he was, you know, a gay wrestler.
Right, because that wasn't a thing back then.
Especially back then.
Yeah,
because that was something that people they would make fun of in the ring, because it wasn't as open as it is now. Like everybody's exactly. Like, oh yeah, they're gay, that's cool. It's not right. Something that they did back then.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So. The fuck.
Yeah. I gotta watch that episode.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good episode. Yeah. And I guess that pretty much wraps up for the random shit that we've been doing. But now, let's get into the nooks and crannies of the episode. And that's the fact that Brian is all elite. yeah. You're all in. You got fed into the Kool-Aid, and now you're part of the cult. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. So, my first introduction to AEW was at Comic-Con in 2019, where I'm sitting with a bunch of friends, and Alex was one of them. Mm-hmm. And little did we know, we were holding the reserve chair for MJF, who was in character as Painmaker, nervously asking questions to everybody at the panel, and then ripped off his gear and then went toe-to-toe with Jericho at the show. Like, they fought at the show, the whole thing went shaking, it was fucking great. And you can find that video on my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So
only eight toys.
So what happened is that we, you know, we've all been into wrestling here, and Steve has constantly been like, "When are you going to watch AEW? When are you going to
go on the cable?" And I would send you clips. I would send you the random shit that pops up on the YouTubes.
Yeah, and
then you'd be like, "Okay, whatever."
And then, like, got YouTube TV finally, and and then from there, just started watching, and then and then there was that pivotal moment while we were recording, in the beginning of September, where my Twitter feed and my texting was going off, like my phone was going off like crazy, with many different pictures of CM Punk making his debut at AEW on Rampage.
Yep.
And the crowd was so, I mean, granted, yes, it was his hometown.
Yeah.
The crowd was so loud that night that you couldn't hear his music.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of weeks later, I did a side-by-side comparison of when Edge, so-called, shocked the world, as per Michael Cole, and made his like return out of nowhere at the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And that was loud, and I remember my friends over at, you know, like, my kids weren't born yet, and, like, Megan was watching with us for a bit, and, like, we were like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. So the crowd, when I was watching the clip of him returning, was loud. But then I watched the clip of Punk showing up, and I'm like, this is louder.
Yeah.
So
much more excitement.
So much more excitement. And then shortly after that, my my friend Danny texted me like, "Hey, are we going AEW at Arthur Ashe?" And I was like, "Wait, what?" Like, I totally forgot that they were coming this way. I still remember when at the panel in 2019, where Cody was like, "Do you want us to come to New York?" And everybody was like, "Yes," because AEW was they originated like only a couple of months before.
Yeah,
right. They only like debuted in like the summer of 2019 or something like that. Spring.
Yep. Spring. Yep.
Yeah. So like they were brand fucking new.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are, 2021, and they're, you know, going to show up to Arthur Ashe Stadium, which I've never been to before. That was actually a really nice arena.
Dude, honestly, I always thought that it was an outdoor arena.
So did I. Well, what happened is that there's, from what one of my friends was saying, because we ended up all, like, one friend had, like, spare tickets, and, like, so we ended up sitting in a different row because of their ticket, which is cool, because it was a friend I haven't seen in 2 years because of the pandemic.
Of course.
So the way the big TV was over the
over the
ring.
Yeah.
The way those cables are set up, I think that's why the roof didn't open, because I'm pretty sure the roof opens.
Okay. Okay.
And then there's also shutters around the whole arena.
Oh.
Like all the way at the top.
Right.
So, like, there's shutters all around there, and they were closed,
I guess. Okay.
For the sole purpose of, like, to get all the lighting proper and everything.
Right, of course.
Yeah. I mean,
these. So that way it doesn't look dark.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, these stagehands are professionals. They know what they're doing.
Of course.
So we get to the arena. And the line is fucking nuts.
Absolutely.
You know, fucking nuts. And but surprisingly move fast. Just like, if for those that don't know where Arthur Ashe Stadium is in the city, or it's in Queens.
It's in Queens. It's all the way at the end of Queens.
Yeah, it's if you're taking the train to Citi Field, instead of walking towards Citi Field, walk in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the train station tells you Arthur Ashe Stadium like that way.
Yeah.
So just follow that, and of course, with a crowd like this, just follow the.
Follow all the black shirts.
Follow. Follow the CFC and Punk shirts. Follow.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Follow all the Adam Cole chants.
Uh-huh.
So.
Follow all the people that have the signs.
Yeah, that too. And a lot of people wearing fucking WWE merch to this show. Yeah. Like, bringing the title belt. I'm like, really?
Yeah. Because you got to think about it, too. Like, these people that, yes, they are fans of wrestling and they want to see something different. Which is something that I've always told you. Like, yo, this is something totally different than what
it's 100% we've seen different. Before. There's so much more raw energy.
Yeah.
You know?
No pun intended.
No pun intended. That wasn't a shot at WWE. The majority of their promos from CM Punk. So like, get through all that, and then we get through. The big holdup was like everybody had to have their vaccination card.
Yeah.
You know, or the app or the picture or whatever. But
right.
Everybody got through. Okay, we're in. Then we walk through more. And then they were also doing like a silent auction. They raised about $3,000 for
nice.
The Tunnel for Towers charity.
Nice.
Yeah. And so they from there move on, get to security, you know, to go through the metal detectors and whatnot. And then that actually went pretty fast too. And got into the building. And they're like, okay, what do you want to do first, food or merch? I'm like, merch. My friend's like, yes. So we stand on this merch line. And, of course, you know, you make friends, because that's the thing about being a wrestling fan. It's like you just connect with all these other people. You're only going to talk to them for the time that you're in line.
Absolutely.
But you get to talk what you want to talk about what's going on and who do you think's going to win and, you know. And then, of course, one of the biggest things we were talking about on the line was what we spoke about earlier, the plane ride from hell.
Yeah, because it was literally like a few days before that we saw that. Well, last week, pretty much.
Last Thursday. So what happened is that get through, and then that's when I'm like, all right, what am I going to get? They had the Brody Lee mask. They had... a bunch of different shirts. There was the American Dragon, you know.
Oh, nice.
Bryan Danielson shirt. I gotta get used to saying his real name.
Right. Yeah.
Then they had one of the Jericho shirts. They had just a couple of AEW style just logo brands and the hats and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, I definitely want to get a hoodie because we're in fall. You know.
Of course, it's only right. Season. Yeah. It's sweater weather season.
Exactly. And I thought it was going to be a thinner hoodie, like how my CM Punk hoodie from shop was back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, no, this is actually like a legit, nice,
it's perfect in-between
weather sweatshirt.
Yep.
And then, like, what I didn't know, because you know how, like, they have it at any arena for any show, they show you one facing forward and one facing backwards, so you see what it looks like.
Yep.
And so, like, at first, I just saw the AEW logo on the chest. I'm like, oh, great. But I'm like, oh, shit. I was like, it has the Statue of Liberty.
But wait, there's more. Yeah.
I'm like, I want that. And then I'm just like going back and forth. Like, do I want to get the All Elite, you know, Bebe shirt? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I just order it online. And then I get to go to the person when it was my turn. I'm like, all right, I'll do the sweatshirt. I was like, yeah, and I'll do the Adam Cole shirt. Yep.
Fuck it. Why not?
And so, like,
Joe knows, son.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I I then walk with my friend and then like hit the restroom line. Shockingly, this is the first event I've gone to where both times to use the bathroom, like it was not a long wait. It was literally just
in. Oh, that's good. That's awesome. Yeah.
We go upstairs, we find our seats. Well, we got food, then we found our seats. And then the food line went okay. And then they started shooting AEW Dark. And so we got for that. And then, like, a couple of minutes in is when my other friend texted us, like, yo, one of my people bailed. Like, you want to come sit with me? Well, like, where are you? And, like, I'm, like, a couple of sections over. And, like, all right. And so, like, I was originally 314.
Which you sent me pictures from 314, and those weren't bad seats because you're literally like slightly to the left of the stage, the entrance.
Right, like if I was facing it, I was, yeah, like the big like circle thing they come out of was shifted over about this much.
Yeah.
So like I would have seen where they came out from to go into that.
Mm-hmm. You would have seen them climb up the stairs.
Yeah, out. I mean, yeah. I did see that from the other spot too, but not. I got to see more of the light up ramp, and just I was higher up. I was
the LED ramp.
That's fucking dope.
Yeah,
I love the LED ramp. And then yeah, we sat there. Next thing you know, it was time for Dynamite. Fucking the Bryan Danielson Omega match was insane.
Yeah, absolutely. The fact that they started out Dynamite with that.
Yeah.
With a 5-star match.
A 5-star pay-per-view worthy match.
Yeah. In the very beginning of a TV show.
Yeah. Fucking
insanely awesome.
And then after that match was over. Punk came out, yeah, and like, Chicago was loud, but I mean, granted, this was a smaller arena, the noise level was there,
yeah.
And he cut his promo, and what was great is that fucking Stephen Amell was there,
yep.
And like, you know, like he hugged him and like gave him like a smile because Punk's only been in. Punk could be a dick if you catch him, just like anybody. Like if you catch him at like the worst time in their life, and his ending time in WWE, he was miserable. So naturally, it was just gonna be. But like seeing the way he's like super happy coming out, talking from the heart every promo.
Mm-hmm.
Like one guy, so like on the exit. Right, we were walking, and then like these dudes happen to have like the chairs, like you know you buy your seat basically.
Right.
We were joking around with that, and this one dude was like, you know, tonight was like the closure I needed. I'm like, what? I need to know more of this. And so he met Punk at a con a couple of years ago, and he was kind of dickish to him.
Okay.
But then Wednesday, he came out. And gave the dude a hug.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know if like he recognized him or he just happened to be the random fan that he hugged, but like, that was just dope. I'm like, oh, so yeah, he really did get his closure.
That's awesome. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. Punk's speech was great.
Yeah.
Then we had.
That's also something to harp on. One of the things that you were saying about him being a dick and being an asshole about. Fact that where he was before, he said it in the thing too. It's like, yo, like people want me to be angry, people want me to be mad, but like, dude, I can't be mad if I'm happy as where I am right now. Like, there's no reason I should be upset or mad or walking around all, you know, angry and shit when, you know, I'm happy where I am.
Yeah.
Like just seeing the fans and listening to the fans, he's like, yo, like I'm good, dude. This shit makes me happy.
They've given him so far no reason to be unhappy.
Yeah.
You know, he gets to do his job at his pace. He gets to contribute to his own character.
Yep.
You know, because there's no scripts.
Yeah.
It's literally like, where do you think you want your character to go?
Yep.
Okay, you got it. Run with it. We'll see if it works.
How do you want this match to go? How do you want things to go? Yeah.
So yeah, that speech was fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had MJF versus Flying Brian Jr.
Yeah. That was a fun match.
It was very quick.
Yeah.
As we expected.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the tweet. Justin Roberts pointed this out in between matches that
his parents had
a sign. Yeah, it was MJF's parents saying, "We're his parents, and we think MJF sucks too."
Yeah, yeah, that was great.
That was great. Oh, that was
fantastic. So yeah, it's fantastic.
Then we had a backstage segment with Alex Marvez interviewing Jericho and Hager about Friday.
Yep.
And then we had one of the best entrances of the night. And that was Malakai fucking Black.
Yeah, dude. Malakai Black is one of the ones that was... He was the one that was completely underutilized in fucking WWE.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he had so much potential then.
And I love that he wears the fucking contact as a fuck you.
Yeah.
And then that was against Cody, who was dressed like fucking Homelander.
Yeah, dude. Because honestly, like, Cody's the biggest fucking nerd. He fits in this show perfectly.
So, yeah, like, my friend John was saying that he looked like All Might from fucking My Hero.
I was thinking that too, yeah.
But, because, I mean, it makes sense. He's a big fucking nerd, right?
Yeah.
So, like, we know Cody's into anime. That's perfect. Mm-hmm. We know he's into comics, so there's your Homelander.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you look at a lot of his stuff previously as well,
he's done
a bunch of shit. Like, he did a bunch of Star Trek. He did Star Trek once with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
When DDP came out one day with them,
yeah,
he got them all looking like fucking Star Trek fucking characters and shit, which is fucking cool.
Why not fucking be yourself? Right?
Yeah.
Because you can be yourself in this company. It's like, before I continue with Dynamite, it's like the thing I was telling you about with Adam Cole. Is like, he was all set to be moved up to either Raw or SmackDown, but they were like, oh, we'll probably have to change your look and your name. And he's been Adam Cole for like 14 years.
Yep.
So like...
And at this point, he would go from being like a regular, like a wrestler, technically, to go over to the main roster where they're going to pretty much be a manager to somebody that doesn't need a fucking manager.
Right. I mean, hopefully Keith Lee's smart and fucking leaves.
Yeah.
So, back to Dynamite. So, so Cody and Malakai, they put on a hell of a fucking show.
Yeah.
But the thing, so I have the play-by-play on the AEW website right now. But like, the thing that the website's not telling you, that you had to have watched it, is that Cody, who was the face, was getting booed the fuck out of the building. the amount of fuck you, Cody.
Damn, really?
Oh my god. Did you see when Brandy flipped off Malakai in the ring?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, apparently "fuck you" was audible.
Yeah, you saw her on the TV. You saw her. Mm-hmm. You saw her mouth it, so you can. Yeah.
Yeah, but there was the amount every time Cody would like smack or do a move to Malakai, he was getting booed. But whenever Tommy End, like, you know, was doing his thing, he was getting cheered.
Yeah.
the fucking heel was getting cheered in New York City. It was
One thing that I kind of noticed, it was something that I like have been thinking about for a while, is the fact that Cody will be turning heel soon.
Probably.
Not probably. Just like the Young Bucks that turned heel. Everybody that pretty much started the company has pretty much switched roles.
So that match was dope.
Yeah.
Then you had FTR come out.
Yes.
And I love that they're Fuck the Rest.
Yeah.
Right? They're not the Revival. They're the Fuck the Rest.
Yeah.
And they came out with Tully Blanchard, and they went after Darby Allin and Sting.
Mm-hmm.
And here, I mean, you know I love that fucking, that Sting theme. Because it's just fucking...
Yep.
I feel like that...
It gives you goosebumps every time you hear it.
He should have had that theme in the late 90s when he was the Crow.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't really see it because of how high up I was, but the snow was falling.
Yeah.
I went back and watched a replay.
Mm-hmm. Also, did you notice FTR's trunks?
I did, but I'm blanking.
Their trunks were literally the NWO letters in square.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Thinking on it now. Yes, they were.
Yep. And the jackets that they had the NWO thing on it as well, but of course with the FTR.
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty dope.
So, that match was great. Darby Allin, man, watching him live.
Yeah.
Dude, yep. Had so many fucking...
He's good, so dude.
And when Sting was wrestling, the amount of You Still Got It chant that was going on.
Dude, man, he's still fucking worse. Like, dude is in his 60s, dude.
Yeah.
And he's pulling off moves that some 20-year-olds can't do.
Yeah.
It was fucking great.
And then the final match of the night was Britt Baker versus Ruby Soho.
Wait, you gotta say it right. Britt Baker, DMD.
DMD.
Yeah.
And the whole crowd, when she said it, the whole crowd went DMD.
Yeah.
So, they went back and forth, and then they gave it, you know, they didn't give it to Ruby yet. It's not her time.
Of course not. It's definitely not her time yet. Like, it would have been cool if they gave it to her. Like we've spoken about this before. Like, it would have been awesome if they gave it to her. But the fact that she literally just came in and got her title shot, it's like, okay, yeah, she can't have that yet. Because, of course, you know, for AEW, they have the rankings. You have to go by the rankings. You can't just automatically get a title shot and then you're good to go. Not like any other places out there. Like, oh, yeah, you get a title shot whenever the fuck you want.
Right.
Here you have to go by the books. Kind of why the first match with Kenny Omega and Daniel Bryan Anderson, it's like, yo, like, I get it. We have to go by the rules. Right. So I want this match, and it's not a title match.
Right. That was a non-title and ended in a draw on purpose, because it's like, who do you give it to?
Yeah.
But they work so fucking well together.
Yeah.
Like
what, because I listen to, like, now that I'm fucking into wrestling, I listen to, like, a bunch of different podcasts and shit. One of the ones that I listened to earlier was, not earlier, but, you know, a couple days ago, was Busted Open. And Bubba Ray, or Bully Ray, I hate goes by now, he was like, yo, like, I'm not a fan of Iron Man matches, like 60-minute Iron Man matches, especially when, you know, there are people that can't sell a match.
It's true.
But he was like, yo, like, I want to see an Iron Man match between these two dudes because they can pull out a fucking show. It would be absolutely fantastic to see an Iron Man match between Daniel Bryan and fucking great.
Yeah, fucking definitely great.
I would love to see that.
And then I didn't. So I paid like $40 for these tickets, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was like $43 after like the discount or whatever.
Yeah.
On Ticketmaster. But like, I paid $40 to see a pay-per-view. It was 5 hours of wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, okay, they're, you know, I was like, Dynamite's done. I was like, we're probably just going to have like some extra dark matches.
Mm-hmm.
And then Justin Roberts, no, I'm sorry. It was before Dynamite started when Tony Khan came out and said, thank you all for being here. You know, this means so much to us, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, after we do Dynamite, we're going to go right into Rampage. I was like, holy shit. Holy shit.
Yeah.
And then I don't want Rampage is going on now. I don't want
to. Right. It's airing, quote unquote, live at the moment.
Yeah. So it's live if you're watching us on YouTube right now.
Right.
But I mean, we could do a quick overview of what happens next week.
Yeah, that's cool with me. We can do that next week. That's fine.
Yeah, because
that
had a lot of excellent moments.
Nice, especially since Rampage is usually a 1 hour show. But for this week, yes, they did something different and they made it a whole 2 hours.
Yeah.
So technically, by the time we get done with this, I'll still have another hour of fucking wrestling to watch on there. Yes.
All I'm gonna say about Dynamo, all I'm gonna say about Rampage is like the Young Bucks steal the show every fucking time.
Oh yeah,
to see them live was just epic.
Oh yeah, of course.
And that whole match was a bunch of everything you want out of that and more. And that's where I'm gonna end that.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah, dude, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited for AEW. I'm excited for all the wrestling's coming soon. Excited for the potentials of the rumors that are out there for AEW. Like, there's a lot of rumors out there.
The rumors, so there's rumors that next week in Rochester,
Which is the home of
hometown,
and Brody Lee's hometown as well.
That's right.
Yeah. Because they were supposed to be in Rochester when he was supposed to make his debut.
Yes. And it would make sense for when he does come to be the new leader of the Dark Order.
Yeah, especially since at this moment, for those that don't watch it or those that haven't watched it, the Dark Order is pretty much like kind of in shambles, pretty much. Like, yeah. They're having, like, they're fighting each other, literally, like they have matches, like, literally every single week, especially on, like, Dark and shit like that. Like, they'll have tag team matches, like, one part of Dark Order against the other part of Dark Order. You have singles matches with, you know, Evil Uno against Number 5.
Yeah.
They're great matches. They're really good matches. But to see what's going to be coming, and possibly having him kind of becoming the new, if they do that, like a new leader of the Dark Order, would be awesome. If he's even coming over there, because technically they haven't said yes. It's absolutely true that he's coming.
There's also rumors that he can go to Impact.
Right.
There's also his contracts. His 90 days not up until about Halloween.
Right.
Or nearing Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Which
is literally like in another month or so.
Yeah. So
it's exciting stuff, man. It's an exciting time to be a fan of wrestling.
Professional wrestling, as CM Punk puts it.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that's the thing about it. And that was the thing about Punk's speech on Wednesday for Dynamite, was that when he's like, it's been a long time since I've been in New York, and then it's also been a long time since professional wrestling has been in New York.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because WWE just had their show at fucking Madison Square Garden 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And from what I hear, it was a lackluster show, too. Like, it wasn't the best show.
It's, yeah. It, just not. I don't really have
like the thrive. I get it. I understand if you know the WWE marks like it.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it. where they're like, oh yeah, this is something that we've grown to love and we've loved every single minute of it. I get it. But at this point in my life, being a, I guess I can say it like this, like being a born again wrestling fan, I've seen the light, and it's nothing compared to what AEW is.
I mean, like I'll of course still be a fan of certain wrestlers like Edge and the New Day,
but... right. Like, it's awesome that Big E got the title now. Like, it's great.
Right. And I hope they fucking keep it on him and they'll have him drop it in, like...
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, yeah, let's bring in the big guy that nobody fucking likes, a.k.a. Goldberg, but let's put him with a title or a title shot. Or the man literally knocks himself unconscious. He sucks.
Yeah. He sucks now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's exciting, man. And it's a good time to be a fan of wrestling.
It's a good thing. Yeah, like I have so much more energy watching this. So much more like thrive.
So much appreciation.
Yeah. Like at one moment during Dynamite, I really had to use the bathroom, but I'm like, I'm holding on because I'm still fucking in before. Like, and I hate to say it, but usually with WWE matches, whenever the female wrestlers would come on, is when I would get up and, you know, have to like...
Yeah, you get up and walk away.
Go to the bathroom, get food, whatever.
Yeah.
Because those matches, as good as they are, they're lackluster.
Yeah. But not only as good as they are, because they're not great matches. They're not bad matches. But they are, at this point, technically, they're filler matches.
The talent is there, but they're being told to do it this way and not the way it should be done, and therefore it makes the match shitty.
Yeah. Because even the dark matches for the women are great fucking matches.
Yeah.
Like the matches that you see on AEW Dark, which is on YouTube's, or Dark Elevation, are really good matches. They're not just squash matches that you see fucking all the time on fucking WWE.
And that's why I'm a pro wrestling fan now.
Yeah.
I grew up. I'm not into the PG era.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. It's there for the kids, but. You know,
but it's not what it's all about.
It's just watching AEW. You know, and of course, give it time. All your fan favorites from other companies will eventually show up there.
Yeah.
Nobody expected the Big Show, Mark Henry.
Yeah.
Nobody expected them to recently bring the late great Owen Hart.
Yeah. Yeah, Owen Hart, of all people. Like, yes, of course, it's not, you know, of course, he fucking died years ago.
Right, he's dead 20 years.
They started a whole foundation for him. Not necessarily for him, but, you know, for, you know, his family and a bunch of other shit that they have, you know, planned and shit. But the fact that they're bringing light to these people that other people don't really know much about. And, of course, they're also digging into the indies, getting a bunch of people from the indies. There's a lot of people from the indies that are great fucking wrestlers that we don't know about because we're basically, a lot of people are just, oh yeah, look at all this that's going to be on the big screen, on the big TV shows that are going to be all over the place that have like 18 different pay-per-views a year. That a lot of people don't really care because they can't pay for it.
Watching Grand Slam, both Dynamite and Rampage, is proof that you don't need 18 fucking pay-per-views a year.
Dude, the fact that
the four pay-per-views that they put out a year are better than one of theirs is proof.
Yeah. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
As your shirt says, no more BS.
Yeah. Granted, it's a Paul White shirt, but it's great.
But, like, look at guys like MJF. MJF was, like, a security guard during one of the segments at WWE.
He was an extra.
Yeah.
He was literally a extra.
That if he stayed there, they were going to just chew him up and spit him out.
Yeah.
But look who he is. Look at MJF. He's mm-hmm. the fucking best heel in the industry right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
The man doesn't break character for anybody.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't break character, which is crazy. He doesn't even break character for his parents. Like,
no, his own parents. Dude,
he tweeted at them or whatever. He was like, yeah, he was like something like, well, fuck you guys or something like that. or fuck off, is what they said. Well, yeah.
Well, didn't he, what was it, during the... during like the Brody Lee tribute,
mm-hmm.
like because Minus One like slapped him or whatever, and he's like, "Fuck yeah. that kid."
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah. Or even when he's doing the fucking the signings or whatever, he fucking flicked the kid off. Back in the like a few years ago, or like last year, I think it was.
Yeah, it's
like he literally flicked the kid off during the signing. He's a great fucking heel.
Great fucking heel.
And dude, the fact that like they let everybody do their own promos, it's fucking great. It's fucking great. They have so much potential for AEW in AEW.
Like, I'm not gonna say what the promo was, but after, because I doubt they'll show it after tonight's Rampage goes off the air. But after Rampage goes off the air, just go on YouTube and search Eddie Kingston promo Rampage. And
okay,
he literally just spoke from his heart off script,
mm-hmm.
and made the fucking arena just feel for the man. And it was just like, it was equal to the one that you sent me on YouTube where he's cutting the promo from his apartment.
Mm-hmm. From his old apartment.
Old apartment, yeah.
Yeah. That was a hell of a promo, too. Like, dude, yeah. Eddie Kingston, the fact that, like, he could have been in WWE.
Because
mm-hmm. he did try for them. Like, I told you, like, a couple days ago. Like, he tried out, but he didn't cut it.
Right.
And he's over here. He got over here because he wound up fighting Cody for the TV title a year ago, pretty much. And everybody saw how good of a wrestler he is. And the fact that he's been in the industry, what, 20 years almost?
20 years.
And he hasn't gotten any real shine.
No, not until now.
It's like, not until now. The fact that he's a babyface that you wouldn't expect to be a babyface. Especially on the other side.
Yeah.
He's a fan favorite.
I mean, like, just... Yeah, just watch his matches. You'll see why.
Yeah. He puts... He's another one. And what I love about AEW is that they all love professional wrestling. They all love what they're doing.
Right.
And... It's great.
Yeah, it really
is. It's fucking great. I'm glad you've jumped over to the other side. I'm glad you are all elite, sir. Welcome to the club. Yeah, so.
Oh, man.
It's good shit, dude.
Great fucking show.
Yeah.
Like I said, we'll touch base when the show's not a spoiler.
Yeah. In another couple of hours, but I think I'll wait until tomorrow until I can watch the first hour as well. So, yeah,
it was just great.
No, oh, I know, I know.
And like, honestly, like, I have not been disappointed from AEW yet.
In all the stuff that I've watched, I have not either.
Yeah. Like, it's all really good shit. It's as Bobby Boucher would say, like, you know, it's high quality H2O. keeps my body hydrated, keep my brain good. I love it. I love me some A-dubs. Yeah. And I guess that pretty much wraps it up for this week. So we didn't really get into other geek shit, but it's mostly because we got into some wrestling shit, because wrestling is, it falls into the geek category, you know? It's what we do. It's what we enjoy. We geek out about a lot of shit. At one point, we had a whole wrestling podcast over here. We had the AEW, Jesus Christ.
The ICGPW Slamcast.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. My brain is like mush right now. Yeah. I think it's easy as Bud Light Seltzer Lemonades that are fucking with me right now. But yeah, we love wrestling here. I'm a born again fan, and I'm excited to see what's gonna be coming out of this whole. Now that they have real competition, it's gonna be interesting to see what's gonna come out of it. And I would not be surprised if some shit goes crazy. It's a crazy time. It's a crazy time to be a fan. And I'm excited for it. I'm excited for it. So, we'll be back next week with another regular show. But until then, go check out all the stuff on intercitygeeks.com. Of course, we have this show. We have Brides of Jay Presents, formerly, you know, Yay Toys. So much shit there is pumping. Jesus Christ, I can't talk right now.
The ICGPW Slamcast?
Yeah, that one. The NCDX webcomic, First Watch, Turntable, Good Games, so much shit. Go check out all that shit.
NCDX.net.
Yeah, go check out all that shit. Also, they got links to places. You can find the link to Amazon where you get some. Free Amazon Primes, so you can see where Cody got the idea for his you know, his ring wear for Dynamite this week, mm-hmm. which is Homelander on the boys. See that, or you can get some regular shit on Amazon Prime. You just click that link and we get credit for it. It doesn't cost you anything. It just gives us a little bit of some change our way. Yeah, so go check that out. Then we also have Associate Clothing Company, where you get pretty cool geeky type shirts and shit. So Associate Clothing Company, SOESIC clothing.co. And you can type in Intercity Geeks for 15% off of your entire purchase. I'll do that. Then there's Beard Octane to get some beardly goodness. So beard oils, beard balms, beard butters. They have a bunch of fucking like tools for your beard, so brushes and combs to make your stuff look nice and sweet and purified. And type in ICD10 for 10% off of your entire purchase. They also have a sale going on right now until the 20th. Oh no, actually today's the last day of the sale. Never mind. Yeah. But they had like a 10% sale earlier. I noticed earlier today. But yeah, ICD10 for 10% off. Go check them out. Not a lot of cool shit there. Then there's CBDMD. Got some CBD shits, which is pretty awesome. You know, tinctures, oils, all that shit. It's good for you. It's going to help you chill the fuck out. Sometimes you need that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so CBDMD. Go check that out. Then there's... What else is there? Sideshow Collectibles. Yes. Get some toys there, dude. So many cool shits on there. there's a lot of cool shit on there. So if you haven't checked out Sideshow Collectibles, go check them out. Yeah, it's fucking dope. Then you can find the show on SoundCloud, on Stitcher Radio, on Google Podcasts, but most importantly, the bestest place of all, motherfucking Spotify. Like, I listen to all my fucking podcasts on Spotify, and the fact that we're on there makes me really fucking happy, because I fucking love Spotify. So check us out there. Then you can find us on the socials, and you can tell everybody on the socials as well. Then you can find us on the Facey Space, so faceyspace.com/InnerCityGeeks, on the Instagram at InnerCityGeeks, on Twitter at InnerCityGeeks, and where can we find you, sir?
You could find me sitting in this really uncomfortable chair.
you haven't been slipping and sliding today, so it hasn't been that bad. Okay, good.
You could find me at bry2jpresents.com, YouTube bry2jpresents. Please like, share, subscribe, and all that shit. Bry2j on Instagram, bry2jpresents on Instagram, and bry_2j on Twitter.
Sweet. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jackal, MisterJackal. And that pretty much wraps it the fuck up. So I hope you guys enjoyed the Russell talks, because this is something that we've kind of been wanting to do for a while.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it felt only right.
And now that we only talk about professional wrestling.
Yeah, it's only right. It's only right. You'll probably wind up hearing a lot more of this. So, don't be a dick, but always remember, the geeks shall inherit the earth.